Let's go ahead and open our Bibles to Proverbs chapter number 25, where we discover, as the text itself says, that these also are Proverbs of Solomon, which the men of Hezekiah, king of Judah, copied. So in the late 8th century BC, that's the late 700s BC, King Hezekiah, the greatest king that ruled in Jerusalem over the people of Israel, decided to add to the book of Proverbs even more of what his ancestor Solomon had written down during his good years, the years in which he actually served the purposes of God. So you remember the original concept of this book was the fear of he who is the beginning of knowledge. It's the beginning of wisdom. So having respect and honor toward God is going to make us want to find out how to live by his direction. And so these proverbs are little short, wise sayings, easily memorized, to help us know how we should react to different things that come up in life. So back when we were studying the first part of the book of Proverbs, I advised you to have a little notebook off to the side where when you came across one of these proverbs that would be helpful to yourself or to somebody you knew, that you could jot it down and have it as a ready reference to add to your memorization procedures. So I'm going to remind you each day that we look through this last section to do just that. So, with nothing more to say, let's dive right into these proverbs. Proverbs 25:2. It is the glory of God to conceal things, but the glory of kings is to search things out. So God gets his glory by revealing all of the stuff that he's done. Kings, wise kings, which Hezekiah wants to be, are those that try to dig in to those revelations from God and figure out how to apply them. And so that's what we're doing right now, because we want to be in the glory of the King of Kings. Verse number 3, as the heavens for height and the earth for depth, so the heart of kings is unsearchable. There's a little bit of a theme of kingly perspective that comes through here, and that makes good sense because the first user of the book of Proverbs during this time period would have been Hezekiah himself. He was wanting to know how to do things right. And so the heavens are high above the earth is low below the heavens, and the kings have a lot of stuff going on in their lives that not everybody's going to understand. Take away the dross from the silver, and the smith has material for a vessel. Take away the wicked from the presence of the king, and his throne will be established in righteousness. So when you're involved in the process of making pure grade silver, you heat it up super, super hot so that the dross can be easily separated from the pure silver. And so too, a righteous king does in his kingdom. He checks everything out so that he can judge those that are causing the trouble and get them out of places of influence so that his kingdom can be established in righteousness. Verse 6, do not put yourself forward in the king's presence or stand in the place of the great, for it is better to be told, come up here, than to be put lower in the presence of a noble. Now, if that sounds a little bit familiar for those of you that have been looking in the New Testament, it's something that Jesus told in one of his parables, but also something which Jesus' half-brother James included in his little book of wisdom called the Book of James. And that is, don't push yourself forward into a company as if you're the most important person there. Instead, be humble and let others decide where you fit into the situation. The book of Peter in the New Testament says that this should be our attitude with God as well. Humble yourselves under God's mighty hand, that he may exalt you at the proper time. And so it's something that all of us need to learn, humility and patience, to let God decide when and where we can be used. What your eyes have seen, do not hastily bring into court. For what will you do in the end when your neighbor puts you to shame? So here we've got this idea that you've got to not jump to conclusions. You need to investigate things. Because if you don't get all the facts before you act, you could end up being embarrassed later when the full story comes out. Verse 9, argue your case with your neighbor himself and do not reveal another's secret, lest he who hears you bring shame upon you and your ill repute have no end. Jesus talked about this idea that you need to settle things when you're on your way with your opponent at law, lest when you get to the place, the evidence proves you're in the wrong and the full weight of justice comes down on you. Because when that happens, you're not going to get out of that until you've paid the last penny. Now, obviously, Jesus was applying this to, you need to get things sorted out with God in this life before judgment comes in the new life that is yet to come. But the pragmatic of this is very, very important. All of us need to get the full facts before we act. We don't need to be knee-jerk reaction all the time to every situation. I'm going to jump on one of my pet peeve horses right here and ride it for a bit. I am frustrated to no end when I see Christians reposting things online, like on Facebook and Twitter and other places like that, that just 20 seconds, 30 seconds of checking would have shown them was incorrect information. But they couldn't wait to say something nasty or mean or spiteful towards somebody else. So they posted it as quickly as they could, and ends up that they were basically just adding more false information to the internet. And it's just not helpful, folks. So do your own fact-checking, okay? So that others don't have to shame you with fact-checking of your material. Okay, back to the Proverbs. Proverbs 25:11. A word fitly spoken is like apples of gold in a setting of silver. So a very pretty piece of jewelry. That's what good words at just the right time are like. They're beautiful. And that's what we should be trying to produce. Good words spoken at just the right time. And the best place to get your good words is from the Word of God. Like a gold ring or an ornament of gold is a wise reprover to a listening ear. So again, jewelry. People love jewelry, right? It's beautiful and it makes you feel good when you can wear it. Well, the Proverbs say that's the feeling that you should take to heart when somebody tells you, you've got something going on here, but we can fix it. When you're open to criticism offered in the spirit of friendship and brotherly love and compassion, when you hear the reproof of somebody that cares about you. That's going to help you be a more beautiful piece of jewelry for the Lord. Verse number 13. Like the cold of snow in the time of harvest, and you've got to understand the cultural context here. Harvest time was the summer. It was the late spring and into the summer of the agricultural year. So like the cold of snow in the time of harvest is a faithful messenger to those who send him. He refreshes the soul of his masters. So think of this in the idea of what it feels like on a hot summer day to come in to a nice air-conditioned room. It's just like, well, that's what it's like when somebody that you trust passes on good information to be of a help to that person or to somebody that that person loves. Like clouds and wind without rain is a man who boasts of a gift he does not give. So if you've ever been, you know, wishing it would rain and really needing something to bring your crops back to life, that's the cultural context here. And then suddenly you see this great big dark cloud come your way. You're kind of excited about it, and then it blows on by and never drops but maybe a couple of sprinkles, and then it goes on. It didn't help a bit. Well, that's the way it feels when somebody promises to give you things that they don't follow through with. That's what this proverb says. Those people are more trouble than they are worth. Again, New Testament book of Second Peter and Jude both describe false teachers as if they are these rainless clouds. They make promises, but they never come through with promises of God's word. Verse 15, with patience a ruler may be persuaded, and a soft tongue will break a bone. Now, the soft tongue will break a bone thing, that's kind of a word picture of it's a metaphor word picture. It's the idea that the bones represent maybe the hard heart of the ruler. But if you just keep speaking to them about your case, presenting your evidence, giving them time to think about it and chew it over, eventually you can break through to their heart and convince them to be on your side, if your side's the right. So this is advice to just keep at it. Keep presenting the truth and let the truth do its own work. Verse number 16. If you found honey, eat only enough for you, lest you have your fill of it and vomit it. Now, in other places, honey is representative of the Word of God. I don't necessarily think that that's the connection here. I don't think that's the tie-in. I think it's the idea of don't overindulge even in the best of things. All things should be taken in moderation. All of us know that one piece of chocolate cake can be delicious. The whole cake in a matter of a few moments is a bad idea. And so we need to moderate how we enjoy even the best of things. I think that's the point here. Verse number 17. Let your foot be seldom in your neighbor's house, lest he have his fill of you and hate you. Now this is, again, getting too much of even a good thing is a bad idea. So don't just constantly be pushing yourself onto other people. Give them a break from you from time to time. That way they'll appreciate the times you do get to spend together. And I think, let's be honest, as we go through these Proverbs, all of us know people that don't seem to understand that too much of them is a bad thing. A little bit of them is a good thing, and that's what we want. And so just don't let yourself be the one that's described in this proverb of being too much of even a good thing. Verse 18, a man who bears false witness against his neighbor is like a war club or a sword or a sharp arrow, so deadly and disastrous. People lying about other people is a horrible, horrible thing, and it needs to be stopped. And one of the ways to stop it is for each of us to make sure we don't engage in it and we don't pass on false information. I'm going to go back to that double-checking things. You need to fact-check the information that comes your way before you think about passing it on. Don't be like a war club, a sword, or a sharp arrow passing on false stuff. Verse 19, trusting in a treacherous man in time of trouble is like a bad tooth or a foot that slips. All of us hate having, you know, that tooth that's troublesome that we know we're going to go and have to have it pulled or filled. Or we hate when we're walking along and we slip and we fall on our backside. That feeling also comes through when somebody doesn't help us out when we really need them. They are treacherous. They are not trustworthy. This is a proverb that encourages us to vet our friends. Make sure that they will be what they purport they are. Verse 20, whoever sings songs to a heavy heart is like one who takes off a garment on a cold day or like vinegar on soda. You get a strong reaction if you throw vinegar onto baking soda. You know that. I mean, that's how they do those school science project volcanoes. It explodes. And if you've ever grabbed somebody's coat off of them on a really bitter cold day, you're going to get a big explosion from that as well. That's the point here, is that if somebody's really heavy-hearted, they're having a really rough time, you coming in and being all cheery, happy, and that is not going to be helpful. New Testament, we're told that we need to mourn with those who mourn and celebrate with those who celebrate. We need to read the room, folks, and see what people are needing right then. And sometimes a quiet consideration of somebody's bad day is much better than coming in like the bluebird of happiness, bringing a great big sunrise right into their eyes. And it blinds them, okay? So just think about what people might need at that exact moment. Verse 21 is quoted in the New Testament by Jesus. If your enemy is hungry, give him bread to eat. If he's thirsty, give him water to drink. See, we are supposed to love even our enemies and help them out when they're in desperate need. Verse 22 says, for you will heap burning coals on his head, and he who is will reward you. Now, what does that mean? What does verse 22 mean? You're heaping burning coals on his head. That doesn't sound like a very good idea, to take coals and put on top of somebody's head. Now, when I was younger, somebody suggested that this is where you're trying to help them out because their fire's gone out and they've brought their container and you put hot coals into that container and they walk away to restart their own fire. That never satisfied me as a young person as to the meaning of this. And I think the meaning is much more simple than that. When we get embarrassed, when we are ashamed, we have this physiological reaction where the blood rushes into our capillaries, particularly into our face, and we become hot and red. And I think that's exactly what it's talking about here, is that when we treat our enemies with kindness and compassion, it should cause them to be ashamed of themselves, that they've always treated us meanly. And when they come on hard times, we don't respond in kind. Instead, we try to help them out. So I think that's exactly what this proverb is meaning. And then God, of course, rewards us. And Jesus even says that, you know, if you only love those who love you, if you only do good things for those that do good things to you, what reward do you have? It's when you go out of your way to help the troublesome people that have been trouble to you, that God is going to see you as someone that needs to be rewarded for your righteous actions. Verse 23, the north wind brings forth rain and a backbiting tongue, angry looks. So if the wind came out of the north, apparently that signaled to the Israelis of this culture, this time period, that they were probably going to get rain. But the point is that you can also read the room of people's attitudes. If nasty things are said about somebody, you know, you do the backbiting, the backstabbing thing, that's going to get you some nasty looks. That's going to bring a negative reaction. So the intention is, don't be a backbiting tongue. Don't be mean to people. Verse 24, it is better to live in a corner of the housetop than in a house shared with a quarrelsome wife. It's been pointed out many, many, many times that Solomon had 1,000 relationships, 700 full-blown wives and 300 secondary concubines. And guaranteed that not all of those interactions were pleasant. And so he includes in his Proverbs warnings that when you've got a bad relationship between a husband and a wife, it's not going to be good. So what's the point? You need to work on it. You need to work on the relationship so that you don't feel like you need to have a place up on the housetop to hide from your other half. You need to cultivate a happy home. So husbands, treat your wives with great respect and honor. Wives, treat your husbands with great respect and honor so that you won't have a quarrelsome household. Verse 25, like cold water to a thirsty soul, so is good news from a far country. All of us like to get a refreshing drink when we're thirsty, and we also like to hear good news from afar. Verse 26, like a muddied spring or a polluted fountain is a righteous man who gives way before the wicked. None of us would ever want to drink out of a nasty-looking muddied pool. None of us would want to go down to a riverbed, a river stream, when we're super thirsty, and drink right below where there's a bunch of livestock muddying up the water and also dumping things that we wouldn't want to be drinking after in. Well, guess what? A righteous person who gives up righteousness just because they're being pressured, they're a muddied stream. I am frustrated from time to time when I see people of named reputation. They stand up for what is right until the pressure is put on them from the other side, and then they backtrack. Well, you know what's just happened to them? They became a muddied stream. And we don't need that in Christianity. We've got enough problems already with our leadership. We don't need to add even worse leaders to the equation. Verse 27, It is not good to eat much honey, nor is it glorious to seek one's own glory. So just like we were talking about earlier, too much of a good thing, even honey, bad idea. Well, even trying to toot your own horn about what you're doing might be great, might be good stuff, but pumping yourself up, being braggadocious about it, not a good idea. Verse 28. A man without self-control is like a city broken into and left without walls. So self-control is one of the earmarks of the fruit of the Spirit. If we don't have self-control, we are messed up. We're like a walled, a city that lost its walls. Chapter 26. Like snow in summer or rain in harvest, so honor is not fitting for a fool. So to have this sudden snowstorm in the summertime doesn't make any sense. To have rain falling down at harvest time in Israel when it doesn't rain during that time, that doesn't make sense. So too, it doesn't make sense to honor someone that is being a biblical fool. That is someone that is not following God's standard. We can't honor people like that. Verse number 2. Like a sparrow in its flitting, like a swallow in its flying. And if you've seen a sparrow moving around and a swallow moving around, they're just all over the place, right? A curse that is causeless does not alight. So when somebody says nasty things, it's going to go flying around all over the place. But for a righteous person who's been doing righteous things, there shouldn't be a place where that curse, that nasty thing, should be able to light and set up housekeeping and nest. People who live open, righteous lives shouldn't be able to be indicted with anything that should stick. Come back tomorrow and we'll do some more Proverbs.